This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Raju Fushikaran is back for his monthly show on local government, and we're trying something different today. We want to ask you, what's the biggest nuisance or concern you face in your neighbourhood? Rajiv is looking somewhat, I don't know if nervous is the word.
But it is something different.
Yes, a bit apprehensive, let's say. But yeah, we want to hear from you. What is, in your view, the biggest nuisance or concern you face in your neighbourhood, in your daily life? And in the meantime, we'll be trying to address the top five public concerns that Rajiv has heard about. If you'd like to contribute to the conversation, do call in. That number is 03 77 109 000. You can also text 0162 01 9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be waiting to hear from you. But based on what we know of, let's start with this. So education seems to be something that comes up time and time again. People always want good education for their children. What are some of the more common grouses you've heard about education?
I think the great concern today is the quality of the schools, public schools, and how more and more parents who have the means are opting to send their kids to private schools because they have concerns or doubts as to the quality of the public schools. And I think this concern is probably one of the highest ranking concern among the middle class, especially here in the Klang Valley. And in fact, it is to the extent that even the federal government, Pemandu, has taken note of that and made that one of the key areas to fix. Sadly, many years since Pemandu has tried fixing this, it still remains a key concern of many parents today. And a lot of people have even started homeschooling through homeschooling centres or even homeschooling at home. I think that goes to demonstrate the concern that they have and also the great desire to give the very best for our kids these days.
But how much can we actually talk about on a local level when it comes to education?
Well, unlike a lot of countries in the world, local government and state governments do not play a role in the education system. It is totally run by the federal government. In fact, to the extent that state assemblymen in Selangor, because we are part of the federal opposition side, we're not even allowed into schools. We're not allowed into school functions. We can't participate there. We can't be part of the Parent Teachers Association and so on. So it is absolutely a federal jurisdiction when it comes to education. And in fact, the taxes that we pay, which is largely goes to the federal government, funds this education.
And I know we're talking about school on a primary school, secondary school level, but Selangor does have a state university, UNISEL. What role does it play? Who does it enroll?
Well, it enrolls Malaysians. In fact, not just in Selangor, but it enrolls Malaysians from all over the country. There also is a small amount of foreign students there. But besides UNISEL, the Selangor government does play a little role in helping supplement the education process along. They start at kindergarten, where for the poor parents who are earning 2,500 ringgit or less, we do have a subsidy program to assist them to put the kids through kindergarten, because that puts them on sort of a more level playing field with the kids from a more privileged background who already would have 2-3 years of kindergarten before they enter primary one. We also help children in estates. So we have a scheme to help children in estates attend school and also for supplementary classes for them, because statistically they are also falling behind compared to the average family here in the Klang Valley. The third thing is that we have this tuition rakyat. This scheme is to provide free tuition to Form 5 students throughout Selangor. This is held in every constituency. So in my constituency, we hold this free tuition in my office in PJ State. And if you know any students who are interested or who need this, please feel free to enroll. We still have a few vacant spots. We rerun 4 classes every week to cater to 100 students. So every constituency does that. And we also have loans under Yayasan Selangor for those going into public universities and public colleges, polytechnics and so on. So there is some amount of supplementary work, but These are supplementary work. Ultimately, the actual education system is run by the Ministry of Education, and I think that's where the concern lies. So in my 8 years in politics and in government, based on public feedback, yes, education is one of the bigger concerns that our families have.
We want to hear from you today, you who are listening, who have, you know, grouses, who have concerns. We want to hear about what your biggest nuisances are that you face in your neighborhood and in your daily life. Call us. Our phone lines are open. Maybe you can get some answers. Maybe you can get some help. That number is...
Or maybe we can just hear from you.
Yes.
As to what you feel that, you know, we government should be looking at. What do you feel the top three concerns or the top five concerns are for yourself?
That number to call, 03-7710-9000. You can text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we did have a caller who was a bit shy, and we didn't get his name and he hung up, but he did want to ask, how many dogs are allowed per household? Do we have a number on that?
All right. So this rule may differ from council to council because this is controlled by council bylaws. But here in PJ, houses that are less than 10,000 square feet are allowed 2 dogs, and houses which are larger than that are allowed 4 dogs. All right.
A question from PC. My neighbor who never keeps his front and back garden clean, it's a breeding ground for mosquitoes. His mango tree is overgrown. Rotten mangoes are dropping into my garden. What can the council do?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think that's always difficult living next to a house like that. I think you could report that to your local council. There are local councils. There are provisions in the Local Government Act that will allow your council to issue a fine to your neighbour. But may I suggest, if you haven't tried this yet, to try talking to your neighbour about it, because that could solve the problem. Sometimes maybe a friendly conversation. And in fact, not reporting it to the local council, reporting it to the local council often always guarantees animosity.
Right, so try to talk it out.
Post-action. Yeah, I mean, you would get the results. Presumably, after one gets a notice or a fine, they would do something about it. But there's bound to be some amount of ill feeling.
And so it does fall under the purview of local council?
Yes, local councils do have the power, jurisdiction to do that. They rarely do this on their own accord, though. They normally only step in when there's a complaint.
So in other words, this mango grower would know that somebody had made a complaint, most likely.
Most likely. He wouldn't know who made the complaint. It could be the left, right, behind, front house, but he would know that. Yeah, someone made a complaint.
And we have a phone call from Rizwan. Good afternoon, Rizwan. Your question?
Okay, my question is about these foreign workers. Normally, the houses they rent out these foreign workers, and they chuck in, say, maybe about 20 of them in one house, and it becomes like a nuisance in the housing area. So, what can we do about it?
All right, I think that's a very real concern. Thanks for the question. There is provision once again in the Local Government Act, and once again, this act is an act of parliament, not an act that is only in for Selangor, but an act of parliament. It actually states that the overcrowding rules is 35 cubic meters per person. A minimum space of 35 cubic meters per person needs to be provided. But if we go by that calculation, one could easily fit 20 to 30 people in a 3-room terrace house. So that's quite a loose regulation that we have. So that brings some difficulty to local governments, not just in PJ or Selangor, but in fact in the whole country, to enforce overcrowding. So we do need more stringent laws. I hope the new minister for local government, he says he's very concerned about urban issues. We'll look into it. At the same time, I've also proposed at the local level a bylaw to strengthen these overcrowding rules, to fine-tune it. But it's undergoing through a lot of discussion because there are concerns of whether we can enact something at our own level.
So in the meantime, for Rizwan, for instance, there's really not much that can be done, right?
He can report to his local council. It's good because then the local council has some record of how serious this problem is to push for greater reform at the Local Government Act. But that Local Government Act reform has to happen at Parliament. It also has a tie-in with other problems that the local council can act upon, because normally the 18 to 20 people by itself is not the problem. It's what happens with 18 to 20 people. They keep the house dirty, they're noisy, and so then there are provisions to deal with this. So the nuisance of noise, this is something that the police can act on. And if you're talking about the dirty compounds that these foreign workers, they don't take care of the backyard or the front, that's something that we answered earlier caller. That's something the local government can come in. So the side effects of having 18 to 20 people, it's something that we can deal with. Another aspect that may happen when you have 18 to 20 people is there probably is a lot of illegal partitions in the house. So in order to renovate your house and to partition up your house, to partition up more rooms in your house, you need to get your building plans approved by your local council. So by not having those plans approved, the house owner is committing an offence and action can be taken. So in my constituency, in Section 17, PJ, there's quite a lot of these cases happening. And the council has gone in and gotten those partitions demolished. And so we have minimised these occurrences. And that kind of drives down the number, because when you have less partitions, then you can house less people. All right. So we can do a little bit to help the situation, but ultimately we need a better reform to the law itself. Because the law that specifies 35 cubic meters per person, I think that's a number that's just too low in this case, because looking at the volume of our space in our house, a terrace house that is about 1,200 square feet with 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, could easily get away with 20 to 30 workers based on this number.
So just for reference, what is 30 cubic meters?
What is 35 cubic feet? So it is 35 cubic meters. So you take your height with the square feet of the floor. So typically a house is 10 feet high. So that would work out to about 35 square feet of floor space per person. So if you have 1,000 square feet of floor space in your house, so that's where you get 20 old people.
I'm speaking today with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, and we're just opening it up to you, really. We're waiting to hear, what are the concerns or nuisances that you face in your neighbourhood. We'd like to hear from you. We'd also like to hear, what are your top 5 concerns or your top concerns when it comes to local government? What do you wish they were dealing with? Give us a call. That number is 03-771-09000. You can also text 0162-01-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. And we are talking about, all the things that you want to talk about today. We want to hear from you about what your biggest nuisances are that you face in your neighbourhood. What do you wish the government was dealing with a little bit better? Give us a call, 03-771-09000. Now's your chance. You can also text 0162-01-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, just a quick update from the gentleman or lady with the neighbour who's growing mangoes.
All right.
The advice was partly, try and talk to them. And he or she has said, have spoken before, and that was the end of the friendship.
All right. So if friendly conversations can't resolve it, then you could always lodge a complaint with your local authority, and the local councils have the jurisdiction to go and issue them a summons.
We have a text from Sly as well, who says, in my area, the old folks are bored with no activities. There's no community centre. Help.
All right. I think that's an excellent point. I have actually written in last month, just around Raya time, to MPPJ as one of my budget proposals for next year. So I think with this tax feedback, will definitely strengthen my resolve to push for it. So it is something that I've put forward for MPPJ to consider, a senior citizen activity center where they can come and have stuff to do and friends
socialize
with. Yeah.
So that's something that's something hopefully in the works?
That's something that I'll try to make it work.
Okay. Yeah. And then we have another text. Garbage collectors in PJ mixing the separated recyclables. Many say it's a waste of effort. There's not enough education and awareness to these operators and on-the-ground staff, like the collectors themselves. Instead, I resort to going to recyclable bins along the roads to deposit. Are these bins recyclables recycled properly?
I sure hope so. Now, a lot of these bins are operated by NGOs, and I would admit that we do not have audit processes on them, but I would think that most of these NGOs that operate these bins would be actually recycling these items. But this is something that's in the works. PJ has already started in four areas, waste separation program. We have gotten the consumers, residents in those areas to start separating the waste and, in fact, have separate collection of the recyclable waste once a week, and as well as the non-recyclable waste that's being collected three times a week, just as with anywhere else. So that started in four areas, and we're looking to expand that. And the difficulty in expanding it is not just to do it for the sake of doing it and not have people follow, but to get the education process out there as well so that people really understand what they're doing.
So I think what this listener is saying is that, you know, it's one thing to educate the public, but it's another thing to educate the operators as well.
That's right. So in the four areas that we operate in, I'm very confident that our collector that actually collects the recyclable once a week, that items are actually being recycled. So that I'm confident. But if you place them in the NGO bins that you see by the roadside, I would say there's a very good chance that it is dealt with properly. But I can't attest 100% to it.
Because that's private.
Because, yes, that's private.
We have a call from Kong. Good afternoon, Kong.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I checked with you as to those commercial lots, especially shop offices. All right, they're supposed to be commercial, and yet those either tenants or the owners, they convert the upstairs floors into apartments to rent out to foreigners. Is it allowable? Okay, that's my question.
All right.
Thanks, Kong.
All right. Actually, I think that's becoming more rampant these days.
Yes, it is, and you see it a lot.
And the funny thing is, it's happening in tandem with bungalow houses being converted into commercial premises. It seems that no one wants to use the original, the properties for its original purposes. So you see more and more houses starting up commercial activities, especially here in PJ. And as well, as you see a lot of shop lots starting to house foreign workers. So now, the answer to that is that in some cases, yes, it is allowed. Local councils can allow and have allowed these first floor, second floor portions of shop lots to be turned into hostels. So there would be requirements on room sizes. There are minimum sizes for rooms, minimum toilet requirements that are imposed on them. But yes, the answer is they could be allowed. But I would say that in my personal experience, I think a lot of them that are operating out there have not gotten the approvals. Some have, some have not. It's just a matter of enforcement to get those who haven't gotten to apply accordingly.
But you wouldn't know, right? I mean, as a casual observer,
I think as a casual observer,
things,
you wouldn't know. So if any of them are causing any nuisance to you, do report them to your local council. The nuisance itself is an offense, whatever the nuisance is, if they're not disposing of waste properly, because these units have to have their own proper dustbin. So if they're not disposing waste properly, that's an offense in itself that can be taken care of. Noise is an offense that can be taken care of, and so on. So if in doubt, you can always report it to the local council and they can always check it out.
Our phone lines are still open and will remain open through the course of the show, because really it's your show today. We want to hear what are the biggest nuisances or concerns that you are facing in your neighbourhood and in your daily life. We also want to hear from you about what you think governments could be dealing with that much better. That number to call, 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. If you don't get through on the first try, please call again. We're waiting to hear from you. In the meantime, we have Davindran on the line. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Dave. Good afternoon, Lynn and Rajiv.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is, again, Davindran. I used to live in Ara Damansara and I moved into KL now. My question is on illegal buntings, which is a serious concern to especially motorists, which are, you know, these are illegally hung at traffic light junctions.
All right.
What actions both MBPJ, for example, or even DBI taking? There are so many of them without permits. I see a lot more having permits in Selangor than in Kuala Lumpur area. What are my rights about bringing them down? Because I run not for exercise. I run mainly motivated by the fact that I want to bring down these hazards at traffic light junctions
right.
and illegal advertising.
All right.
So I bring them down, and I've also got a string of followers who are doing likewise, because that seems to be the only way which works. Of course, the next new one comes up, but at least it's probably something different to look at. But certainly, you know, they, besides being a hazard at traffic light junctions, they also, when they're not brought down, they tend to fall into water drainage, you know, on the road and on rivers. And I think we know about the amount of tonnage which the rivers collect every day. Besides bottles, this is also buntings, one of the big ways that we see. So what actions, what are my rights about bringing them down?
All right, I'll get to that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now, I think it's awesome that you have been spending effort to do that. Now, in Selangor, at least, all buntings that are legal, they do have a sticker from the respective local council. And some buntings, I think everyone knows it's clearly illegal. So all the Along buntings that you see.
Massage.
Ubat kuat lelaki, things like that. So those are definitely illegal. And you can pull them down. Many Malaysians have been pulling them down in their respective neighborhoods, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, I appreciate your efforts. At the same time, the local councils are pulling them down. MBPJ has already appointed contractors this year to start pulling them down at certain main roads, and these operations could be expanded maybe in the following year if the budget permits to all residential roads as well. But PJ has started pulling them down also in full force. Now, the thing is, they keep coming back because to print buntings is probably quite cheap in Malaysia. And so we've just got to keep at it. And it is actually a deterrent because I've seen it for myself. In Bukit Gasing, we did a pilot project to persuade MPPJ to take this on, where for 6 months we just focused on a few areas and we really took down the buntings every day. Eventually, it becomes a deterrent, because if the bunting is only taken down once in a while, then it's a worthwhile gamble. But if it's taken down every day, eventually people get fed up.
So what Dave is doing is actually really great.
It's really great. And in fact, if you keep doing that consistently in that place where you do go jogging, chances are eventually they would give up putting up the bunting, because if it's taken down every day, it's going to piss off whoever's putting it up. So
it's just not worth the trouble
anymore.
It's just not worth the trouble.
Yeah. Like, if it's only taken down once a month, then yeah, it's fine. It's worth the trouble.
Okay, so I guess to people who are jogging outdoors, that might be something new to occupy your time with, take down the buntings.
All right.
And we have Indra on the line. Thanks for waiting, Indra. Good afternoon. Indra?
Hello.
Hi, Indra.
Hello, Indra here. Hi, Mr. Rajesh.
Yes, hello, Indra.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Okay, my concern is our water supply from Shabazz.
All right.
I stay in Section 11, very near the University Hospital.
All right.
Okay, all right. Twice in the month of June, there was water disruption when called Shabazz. Shabazz said, well, the first time there was a pipe leaking somewhere in Pantai Dalam. Then a few days later, there was another pipe leaking somewhere in front of University Hospital. And then in the month of July, there was another pipe that burst in Section 14. So, I'm wondering, you know, with all the pipes that are bursting, and PJ is like city status, you know, city status is like the ultimate glorification of a city, and if we can't keep even giving our
Indra,
we're losing you.
City, you know.
Okay.
We've
lost Indra, unfortunately. That was a bad line. But
we got the gist of it. All right, I think that's a very legitimate concern. I would certainly rank that as a top three concern, actually, because water supply is extremely crucial for all of us.
So. I lost it last weekend.
Yes, so we actually have a situation where historically in Selangor and KL, there has been a lack of investment in the past with regards to regular pipe replacements. So we are now settled with a situation where a lot of our pipes are beyond maybe their expected lifespan, as well as a lot of movements happening underground or nearby the pipes, a lot of constructions, piling and whatnot that is giving it more than their fair share of vibration to these pipes that are causing them to burst frequently. So we actually have about 6,000 cases of burst pipes in the whole Selangor and KL every year, and that's something serious. And last week, actually, our Menteri Besar Azmin launched the pipe replacement program. Now, we were supposed to get funding from Pengurusan SZI Berhad PAP. It's a federal government entity that's supposed to loan all the states money to do this CAPEX works with regards to water. And unfortunately, due to a lot of haggling and rather difficult federal government that we have not gotten the funding yet. And Selangor has decided that, you know what, we're not going to wait any longer. So this year, we've already started replacing, and that was actually launched just about a week or two ago. And we're going to do 12 spots, 12 of the hot spots this year. And next year, this work will still be ongoing. So we are resuming, we're starting back the proactive pipe replacement initiative. We are not only going to repair, in the past, it was only repairing areas that had problems. So now it's proactive pipe replacements. To resolve this problem so that you are unlikely to get a burst pipe in your area. So it's going to take time. Selangor is a big state, but it's starting.
And are we going to see water interruptions during that time?
During the laying of the pipes, you will not see because it will be laid in parallel to the old pipes. But just at the connection point, there will be a small interruption. The level of interruption would be depending on the area, case by case.
But hopefully once that happens, we won't see interruptions for quite some time after.
And also, hopefully after that, actually a lot of the burst pipes are also related to a lot of third-party activity. So the construction of the MRT has been a great source of burst pipes.
Right.
Unfortunately. And in fact, a couple of the serious burst pipes that we've had here in PJ has been related to the underground sewage works, where tractors accidentally knock into the water pipes. So those kind of problems should be avoided. I sincerely call out that all contractors from TNB, Maxis, Celcom, anyone who does work underground to be extra careful because the ramifications of a little mistake affects thousands of people who would have to live without water for a few hours or for a day while that pipe is being fixed.
We have a question from Vijay, a follow-up about buntings. Right. Good afternoon, Vijay.
Hi, guys. Just very quickly, going back to the bunting, I'm just curious, especially when the details of the perpetrators are on the board or on the bunting, why aren't enforcement actions taken against these people when their details are there, right there for the councils to, to take action against?
They are. Action is taken. The common action that a lot of Malaysians expect is actually the action that has been taken by our local councils. Councils forward these phone numbers to MCMC, and MCMC blocks these numbers. So that's like the ultimate deterrent to people who want to use this to advertise their business illegally. So that's being done. But in line with that also comes the removal. That also works to deter people from doing so.
I hope that helps. Thanks, Vijay.
No worries.
I mean, that's a very good point. It didn't occur to me that, yes, they've kind of outed themselves in that sense.
We do. I mean, enforcement action is taken. But it's maybe not moving fast enough or strong enough. And that's where the removal complements the action to blacklist numbers as well as to issue them summonses. Now, it takes time to track down, to go through the necessary paperwork to issue them summons. So, you know, hand in hand with that comes the process of removing that. That's like more immediate.
And we have another call here from Roslyn. Good afternoon, Roslyn.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just have two questions, I guess. Now, the first one is about zoning.
Okay.
So I just want to know, is there any kind of zoning laws we have in Malaysia? Or there are laws, but no one is like following them. That's one.
Maybe you could give us the case that you're referring to. I mean, what zoning problem are you facing?
Yeah, for example, I live in Subang Jaya.
All right.
Okay. So you've got houses where you've got the flyovers, the NEP flyover.
Uh-huh.
It's literally sitting at the doorstep of the house.
Okay.
You know, are you familiar with Subang Jaya where you've got the NEP flyover going into the Sunway?
Okay, so you're in SS12. Okay.
That's in SS12. I don't stay there, thankfully, but my heart bleeds for those people. So, you know, do we have any kind of zoning? That's one. Another one is, when people do constructions, renovations to their house,
mm-hmm.
are they allowed to build monstrosities for a single-story terrace house? You know, the facade is all set, and then you've got suddenly someone who builds like a three-story structure on a single-story terrace.
All right. Okay, let's deal with that. Okay, so...
Thanks, Roslyn.
Yeah.
All right. So we do have zoning laws in Selangor. They are governed in the local government... every local government, a local council, they have their local plan. So in Malay, it's called Rancangan Tempatan. So like PJ's Rancangan Tempatan Petaling Jaya, and in Subang Jaya, Shah Alam, and so on. We have these plans. And these plans govern what can be built on any piece of land. So if you take PJ for an example, some areas, only two-story houses are allowed, some area three-story houses are allowed, depending on the size of the roads in those areas. And it's all specified in the plan. So someone with a single-story house could build to a three-story house if the plan allows for it. There are also rules like the setbacks, how many feet from the boundary you must leave as open space before you can build your house. So those things need to be adhered to.
What happens if I have my plans, I hand it in to you, and then after that I don't build according to my plans?
If you build something that is not in accordance to the plans, you can attract a fine.
Okay.
So what the council normally does, it tends to give a notice first to give you a chance to correct what you have done wrongly. There are two ways of correcting. One is you demolished the additional building that you've done outside the plan. The second one is you apply to get that additional building approved. Now, if it's within the framework, let's say if you are allowed to build that two-story building anyway, so the council would give you an opportunity to apply for that plan, you would still be hit with the fine for building first and then applying later. So that is possible. As regards to roads and flyovers, there are guidelines as to the setback. I mean, like how near a flyover can be from a house. And yes, my sympathies also go out to all those who have been affected. I think this is due to the poor planning of the past. You know, not in the last 3-4 years, but rather decades ago, where a lot of these spaces were not located for. So we pay the price for it today. It is not just flyovers, but even MRT. The MRT tracks, LRT tracks, some of them may go near existing property, and that's really unfortunate. I think to maybe address this. Most of the cases, there are negotiations with the house owners to explain what's being done, and as far as possible to mitigate whatever that can be mitigated. So, you know, if certain sound barriers can be put in, if certain other elements can be put in to minimize the impact, that's normally done. So those are the prices we pay for lack of proper planning in the past, you know, failure to put into taking into account spaces that we need for future expansion.
Rubbish collection is continuing to be a theme here. You know, I haven't managed to get to any of the texts. I'm sorry about that. People who have sent texts, we will get to that as soon as we can. But there is someone else asking, is there a point in separating recyclables? And, you know, And on that note, we also have a caller, Mr. Lim, who wants to know about rubbish collection as well. Oh, we've lost Mr. Lim. Well, what he wants to know is about inconsistent rubbish collection. Unfortunately, I don't know the contents of that, but we do have someone else asking about, recyclables. They're saying, when is Selangor, starting? I really want to know if the elected government is serious. Please repeat the areas that have proper garbage disposal.
All right. So we have started in 4 areas in PJ. Now, I know it's not wide enough, but if you are living in PJ and if you want your area to be the next area, maybe you can write into MBPJ or you can even write into me and let me know where which area you're living in and that you and your neighbours are keen on getting your part included in the waste separation. So it needs to expand faster. I will concede to that. And at the moment, even for areas which are not officially covered by the waste separation contractors in PJ, a lot of contractors, not all, but a lot of contractors that do collect the waste do separate the waste because it's extra income for the rubbish collectors.
The same listener also says, please have strategic places for e-waste, more education on hazardous waste, especially to lower income groups like foreigners, squatter areas, coffee shops, more heavy penalties, more enforcement. I think they feel very passionately on the subject.
All right. So I think that's something recurring today. We've got a lot of people passionate about the environment. That's good.
We are still, our phone lines remain open. Mr. Lim, if you'd like to call back, anybody else, if you'd like to call in, let us know what are the biggest nuisances, what are the biggest concerns that you face in your neighbourhood, in your day-to-day living, what do you wish the government would be more focused on? That number to call, 03-771-09000. You can also text 01620019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio, and we will get to your questions right after this quick market update, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. But it's not our show today. It's really your show. We want you to call. Let us know what your concerns are when it comes to your neighbourhood, when it comes to local government. That phone line is 03-771-09000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to get to some of the texts, that same listener who was concerned about responsible garbage disposal also says, I'm very disappointed that there's been wanton tree felling. There's been cutting down big trees, 30 to 50 year old ones that have been life supporting. Why can't we trim and manage and not kill?
Wow. Okay. So that's exactly one of the biggest problems that we face. In fact, complaints about trees make the top 5 of complaints that come into local councils. We have a lot of people complaining to request the council to trim or cut these trees. At the same time, we've got a lot of people against cutting these trees. And this is the great difficulty the council goes through. So we've got people who are worried that these old trees will fall over during heavy rains. And we do have experiences of this. Every time there's a heavy thunderstorm, there'll be a few trees being uprooted, branches falling down. And that normally strikes fear in the houses that live near these big old trees. And so a lot of complaints do come out. In fact, my office also receives a lot of complaints from the public requesting to cut trees and to trim trees, to cut them all together and plant small trees in place of these big, nice old trees. At the same time, every time MBPJ actually cuts a tree, there would be a stream of calls or messages coming in. Why are you cutting those trees down? Now, in some of these cases, cutting the trees is necessary. Some of the cases, the trees are dead trees. They've already died. Or the trees are sick, ill trees, or termite infested. And so based on professional advice, those trees are no longer safe and need to be cut down before they fall down during heavy winds or heavy rains. But in some of the cases, it is due to public pressure. And I admit I've seen a few of these cases where due to the public pressure of the residents who live there, the local council then steps in to cut those trees. And hopefully we can avoid that in the future. learning lessons from this is that in the future, whatever trees we plant, it must be strategic. We understand that in this area, we only want a 6-foot tree. We don't want a 20-foot tree, or, you know. So choosing the right trees to plant would be important moving down the road. And also regular maintenance on this tree so that residents feel confident. So MPPJ has started that actually recently. Now they go through a twice a year cycle. So they go through a section. So when they go through, let's say, Section 5, they may not trim every tree in Section 5, but they will go through all the trees twice a year to evaluate and take necessary trimming actions where necessary. So if this can be expanded further to the rest of the country, we would feel more confident in our trees and there'll be less public pressure to cut down these trees.
Okay, we're running out of time, so we're going to try and just race through what we have.
Okay, let's try.
Okay, safety concerns. One, the streetlights are not working 90% of the time whenever I drive at night along the road of the old Star newspaper in Section 13. I've seen pedestrians having to walk in the dark.
All right, so wherever you are, streetlights complaints, just if they're concrete poles, you can call TNB directly, 15454. If they're metal pole streetlights, they're under your local council, call them. A lot of streetlight complaints are dealt with very quickly. So just give them a call wherever you are in the Klang Valley.
Two, pedestrians have a hard time trying to walk on the so-called sidewalks, which are bumpy, rocky, at times non-existent.
All right. So I proposed actually recently, just this Monday, 3 days ago at State Assembly, that for next year's budget, the state government puts in 100 to 200 million ringgit tapping from our reserves that we have accumulated over the years to expand and improve pedestrian connectivity to promote the usage of public transport and to reduce the usage of private vehicles. So it's something that I'm personally passionate about and glad to have a listener be passionate about it too.
The one-way system involving Jalan Utara and Jalan Barat continues to be a hazardous nightmare created by the former MBPJ.
Yes, and that's due to complete at the end of this month. If it's completed on time, which I'm informed by MBPJ, is the contractor is on track based on the work schedule, we would celebrate Merdeka in more than one ways this 31st August.
Okay, and they had another question about drains, but so do one of our callers. Good afternoon, Invam.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I would like to find to ask, can the drains in front of the houses be covered up? Because they did this in SS1 some time ago, and it really made the whole area look so good. So we were hoping that the MPPJ will do this to all the areas. That would also save some people falling in the drains too, and make the housing areas also look very much nicer. And the second question is, I have a lamppost right in front of my house, and the light has died. And nowadays, with all the, you know, the burglary, it doesn't look very safe outside.
Is it a concrete lamppost?
Yes, it's a concrete lamppost.
All right, so you just need to call 15454. That's TNB's number. 15454.
Okay, 15454.
Just let them know your house number, your address, where the light is. Yes. They should get it done within a day.
Oh, great. That'll be great.
Thank you, Invam.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So with regards to covered drains, I absolutely agree with the caller. It definitely makes the area look neater, nicer, more modern. And that's something that MPPJ has been doing the last few years. But it is a process that has to take place in stages because it's quite a costly affair. So right now, PJ Section 1 in PJ Old Town is a portion of it. About 5 or 6 streets are undergoing this process where the roads are being widened and the drains are being covered and walkways are being built over them. So the street modernization efforts is happening in PJ and it will come to your neighborhood in due time. But please bear in mind that, you know, because of the large size of PJ, it will take time to actually get to every street.
From Haridas, my mother-in-law living in SS5 has a neighbour who converted his house and the one next to his house into a construction stockyard. There are plenty of rats because of this. He has also lots of old cars parked everywhere. We've reported to MBPJ, but every time the officers come, he refuses to come out and eventually they leave. This has been going on for years. MBPJ doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it. So what can be done? Don't ask us to talk to him as we have done so many times.
Right. you could probably liaise with your local councillor if complaints MPPJ has not yielded results. There may be actions from MPPJ, but maybe there's some circumstances here that I'm not sure what's happening and as to why the actions are taken. Now, if the case has gone to court, sometimes it may take some time. That may happen when a property owner refused to comply with notices and summonses from the council, then the matter goes to court. But the simple answer is that you're not supposed to use your house as a stockyard. You're not supposed to use your house as a restaurant or any other business unless you live in a commercial area.
People, there's a theme here of people not using property the way that it's meant to be used.
And that's what I mentioned earlier. We see an increasingly high amount of complaints and cases of shops being used to house workers. So houses being used for residential purposes. And then you see houses being used for commercial purposes.
Okay, we're in the home stretch. Dear Rajiv, if a family of Musang lives in our vicinity, who do we call?
Wow, okay, this is quite tough. So technically, this will come under Perhelitan, which is a federal government department.
The forestry.
The forestry, yeah. So you could lodge a complaint with them. Another way is to get an exterminator, pest control company to come in.
So this is not something for local government?
This is not under the local government.
Okay, despite being a PJ situation, it might not be a local
government.
There
are many things in PJ which are not under the local government, like the fire stations, the schools, and the cops,
and
so
Musang.
And yes.
Okay, and where can I drop off my bulbs and batteries for safe disposal?
So a number of shopping malls have e-waste disposals, and that's something that I share the concern with the listener that we need to create more spaces. But for now, quite a number of shopping malls do have it, so just check out the few that are near you or that you frequent.
Last question today. We have a Harley Davidson bike at home. There was once we started the bike at 7 a.m. to go to work, and my neighbour complained. I want to ask, is there any offence here? Am I giving any nuisance from a legal perspective?
I'm not too sure of that, but the Department of Environment has noise control guidelines, and so breaching the noise control guidelines, the decibels at certain hours of the day, it would be an offence. So, but that would be under the Department of Environment.
Okay, that is all the time we have today, and we've covered quite a bit. We might stretch this out to next month. We'll see. Anyway, Rajiv, thank you for coming in.
You're most welcome. Good.
I've been speaking today with Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran, and we've been addressing your concerns in your neighbourhood. You've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.